Just before we do that, over the last few Sundays here at NBC, we've been looking at a question: who is Jesus? And what a great question it is to keep asking as well. And some of those young people we've heard have asked that question, and God has made himself real to them. They've understood a bit more about Jesus. Because we can all get to the stage, and as we've heard as well in those stories, of getting to a point in our lives where we think we know who Jesus is. And then we suddenly realize that actually some of that has been what other people have told us and what they know about Jesus. And maybe it's time for us to search it out for ourselves as well. It may be that you're not very interested in who Jesus is as well. But it is a question we can't ignore. Who is Jesus? It's a question that keeps echoing throughout our story as well. Now, there are some questions that are worth answering. Will Arsenal win the Premier League this year? That's definitely a question that's worth answering for those of you who support Arsenal, of course. I'm pointing to Robert here today. But there are also questions that are not worth asking, like, will Arsenal win the Premier League again this year? But your answer to the question that Jesus asked his own followers while he was here, who do you say I am? Now, that's a question that is life-changing when you search out the answer for it. I mean, Jesus, as we know, has been portrayed in countless works of art. He's appeared in films, in musicals. He's been painted by many different painters, sculptures of him. Musicians have written songs about him, and novelists have written books about him. He has fascinated people. He has intrigued people. He has confused people, and he's challenged people throughout history in that. He has been appropriated for their own use by populist leaders for political purposes. He's been ridiculed, he's been laughed at, he's rejected. And in fact, all of that happened while he was still alive on earth, let alone what has happened ever since that. But we cannot escape the fact that many, many people have come to believe in Jesus. Throughout history, throughout the world, and as Robert reminded us, in some of the most persecuted countries, Christians will have gathered today in order to witness to who Jesus is, at fear of their lives and of even of their lives and imprisonment. And the Bible helps us to answer this question. And we've been looking through John's Gospel account of who Jesus is, and exploring the person and character of Jesus over the last 6 weeks. And today is our final week, and I thought it was an appropriate one for this Baptism Sunday to finish and to wrestle with the question, who is Jesus? But perhaps the most important question that comes after that then is, well, what difference is he going to make in my life? Now, these seven statements that we've been looking at have the same two words at the beginning. They start with the words, I am. Every one of the statements we've looked at, Jesus says, I am. A title for God, a title we first read of in Exodus chapter 3, way back in the Old Testament, when God wanted to speak to Moses, and the burning bush came aflame, and Moses was a bit concerned about what God was asking him to do, to go and set the people of Israel free, who've been in captivity for 400 years in Egypt. And Moses was frightened about going to Pharaoh, but he was even more frightened about going to speak to the Israelites. And so he said to God, who should I tell them has sent me? And so God says to him, I am. Let them know that I am. I'm the one who was and is to come. I'm the one before all things, in all things, and for all things that is still to come, past, present, and future. This is who I am. And so it's this title that Jesus takes seven times in John's Gospel for us to understand a bit more of who he is and answer this question. We've already looked at some of these. I am the way, truth, and life, Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the gate to life. I am the bread of life. I am the vine that produces life. And last Sunday we looked at Jesus being the light of life. Today we're going to be looking at his final statement, I am the good shepherd. Now, gates and bread and vines and light, they're all very relatable to all of us here today, I expect. But shepherds, maybe not quite as relatable in our day and age. We may glimpse them as we drive past open fields. We may walk across open fields, and there we have a shepherd, generally in the UK on a quad bike with a sheepdog running behind, corralling the sheep into a pen. So what does this ancient image have to tell us today about who Jesus is? And how does it help answer the question that shapes everything? The answer we have to this question shapes our identity, as we've heard. It shapes our purpose, as we've heard. It shapes our future, as we have heard from each of our young people today. And right into that, they have decided that this is who Jesus is, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to declare it publicly by having a bath in front of everybody in this room. Now, in John chapter 10, Jesus doesn't want us to go away with a vague answer to our question. He makes it very personal. I am the good shepherd. Not a shepherd, not like a shepherd, but the good shepherd. Clearly a contrast to bad shepherds who the people of Israel had had over generations. And Jesus is making a criticism of those who have gone before him. People who have led badly, people who haven't inspired the people to follow God's way and to live the way God has. And so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm going to lead you into good places. I'm going to be with you. I'm different from all that has come before you. This is God who has come to rescue his people. I am the good shepherd. Would you join me as we just read a few verses together, which is in John's Gospel? Let's read together. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And so here's Jesus saying, I'm the shepherd that you need, a shepherd that we need. We don't spend a lot of time around sheep, most of us. We're more familiar with smartphones than shepherds, with managing calendars than flocks. But in Jesus' day, the image of a shepherd was everywhere. And as he declared these words, he would have seen shepherds on the hills all around. The people would have been very familiar with them. This would have landed with incredible weight. I thought I'd show you a picture of a sheep just to get an ah this morning. But this is sheep. We know sheep. We know what they're like. And sheep need protecting. Sheep need guiding. Sheep need providing for. Sheep need looking for when they get lost. And in each of our lives, we can get anxious, overwhelmed, unsure of direction. We build our lives around our careers, our relationships, and successes. None of them are wrong in themselves. But we can end up feeling that something is missing. And we've missed the point of the life that we've been given. And there's something in us, as we've heard through these stories, that keeps us searching, that we don't want to give up on this search because we believe, we know instinctively there's something more than this. And Jesus steps into that and says, I know what you're feeling, and that is why I've come. He is a good shepherd, not a hired hand who doesn't have connection with the sheep and will run away at the first sign of trouble. Jesus knows his people. He knows you, and he calls you by name, and he wants to lead you into good places, and that matters in our lives. If you've ever walked through a field of sheep, they tend to scatter when you go. Unlike cows, which have a habit of coming towards you, and you have to run away from them, but not sheep. Sheep will only trust someone they know. Someone who won't let them down. Someone who has provided for them. Someone who protects them. Someone who cares about them. Someone who knows their name. Success promises fulfillment, but very rarely satisfies when we get there. Relationships matter deeply, but they can fracture. Even our own strength can eventually run out. And Jesus says to us, I am not like that. I will not abandon my sheep. I do not walk away when life gets hard. The good shepherd remains faithful and committed to you. When Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, every listener that day, their minds would have gone back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 that reminds us, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right path. Even in the darkest, toughest experiences in my life, he comforts me. He provides for me. Even in the presence of my enemies, he provides blessings that overflow with joy. That's the good shepherd that each of us can encounter, that he offers to us today. He gives us a future for eternity. And all he does very simply is invite them to follow. He invites you to follow. Not your best version of yourself, not your social media version of yourself, your real self. Who you are, he invites you to follow. Even if you're anxious or doubting or tired or searching or wondering if this is it, the Good Shepherd comes for you. But perhaps the most shocking thing that the people heard that day, and perhaps the most shocking thing that we still hear, is that this is a shepherd who dies. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. No one takes it from me, Jesus says in verse 18 of John 10, but I lay it down of my own accord. See, the cross was not an accident. Jesus willingly gave himself out of love for all who would respond to his voice. See, shepherding generally doesn't work like that. Shepherds protect their sheep. They fight off predators. They do an amazing job. They risk their lives. But dying for a sheep, that is totally unexpected. Because you have to ask, are sheep worth dying for? But are people worth dying for? And Jesus thinks you are. You are worth him laying down his life for you. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a moral example. He's not just a spiritual guide. He is the God who gives himself for us. He lays down his life, not because we've earned it, but because he loves us. Not because we're impressive, but because we're his. It sounds simple, because it is. He calls you by name and invites you to follow him. So who is Jesus? We won't get back to the question of whether Arsenal are going to win the Premier League. We'll wait for that to happen. But we'll definitely get to the question of who is Jesus. According to the I Am statements, he's the shepherd who sees you fully. He's the shepherd who leads you wisely. He's the shepherd who stays when others leave. He's the shepherd who dies so that you can live. He's not distant. He's not indifferent. He's not waiting for you to fix yourself before you come to him. He's already close, and he's already given himself to you. So will you respond to him? And that's where baptism comes in, of course. Baptism isn't just a religious ritual. It's a response. It's saying, I hear his voice. I trust him. I'm going to follow him. Leaving behind the voices that don't lead to life. And choosing to follow the one who is the good shepherd. Following Jesus is not just about believing a set of ideas. It's adopting a whole new way of life. And that baptism is the moment that we can say publicly, I'm in. Not perfect, not finished, but open to Jesus and his purpose for my life. And so there's an invitation to each of you here today. To those of you being baptized today, this is your moment. You're saying, I belong to Jesus. I trust the Good Shepherd. I believe he gave his life for me, and I'm going to give my life back to him. You'll go down into the water as a picture of the old life being buried. And then you'll rise up from the water, a sign of new life in Christ, a public declaration, I belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But it isn't the end of the story. It's the moment of obedience that will lead to many, many more. But to you who are witnessing baptism today, an invitation to you as well. Maybe you're asking, who is Jesus? Maybe you're curious. Maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you've been around church but never really made it personal. Well, let me gently say this to you. At some point, you have to move from observing the shepherd to responding to him. Because Jesus didn't say, admire me. He said, follow me. And the invitation is open to all who will hear his voice and respond to him. He knows you by name. You are his. He just says, follow me. He's not distant, not abstract, not theoretical, but just personal and present. And so the question at the end of this series we've been on perhaps needs to change from who is Jesus and move to the question of will you follow him?